This is Doug Miller. Can you actually speak in a language you never learned before? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best, and he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are privileged to be back once again with this Bible in hand to teach and to preach the Word of God. Mindful as we do so of the awesome responsibility we have to tell the truth. And when I say we, I'm not using the royal we. It's I that am doing the talking, but the we is those who are involved in Dialogue Ministries. We invite you to come along, bring your Bible, open up to the second chapter of Acts, and we will continue, Lord willing, in the very interesting subject we took up last time, and the very controversial subject, I might say, the second chapter of Acts and this passage that runs down through verse 13, from verse 5, where the first tongues are spoken in the New Testament by these early believers. Call a friend, tell them to listen in, and I think you'll find it very profitable if you can come to this with an open mind, with an open book to learn, and you can avoid getting mad at me and want me, you know, tarred, feathered, and ridden out on a rail and consigned to the pits of perdition and what have you. All right? Call a friend, tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists to see this word go out. That's what it's all about for us. We are simple. We keep it simple. We are low budget. We're going to go on being low budget. And we are utterly and absolutely dependent on our listeners and those who are interested in what we are doing for support, for prayers. I beg you, write Dialogue down and pray for us and tell others to listen. And we would always love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083. Always glad to answer any questions that you might have. Glad to help you in any way that we can. Glad even to get angry, hostile, and upset letters. It's okay. That's all right. We are tough enough to live with that around here. Okay. So, also like to invite you to pull up our webpage and look at it. Dialogueministries.org. Dialogueministries.org. That's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters. And let's see now what we can find out. We began last week, and I read from verse 4, or verse 5, actually, down through verse 13. And we're going to have to take it up again because I really didn't get the whole thing dealt with. And I began last week in as apologetic a way as I know how to begin, apologizing to those of you who speak in tongues. I am fully and absolutely convinced, after many years of looking at this, many years of reading about it, many years of talking to others about it and listening to others about it, I am absolutely convinced that there are no biblical tongues being spoken today. Now, that's at that point, you know, a lot of you will get up, turn the radio off, or jerk the plug out of the wall or throw the whole thing against the wall or whatever and say, well, I'm not listening to any more of that. And others of you will say, that's blasphemy. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. But friends, I've examined that too. I have examined that too. The real bad teaching is in attributing things to the Holy Spirit that he is not doing or has not done. Now, the last time that we were in here, we read this passage, and I think we can all agree. I don't see any problem with agreeing that these men, these Jews, these Galileans were all speaking in known languages that they had never learned before. Now, I say I think we can all agree on that, but even as I say it, I know that we can't because I've heard the explanations for this. Now, friends, let me tell you something. If you have to go to a convoluted, twisted, strange, concocted explanation such as, well, they were speaking gibberish, but these guys, they don't say they say we just heard them speaking in our language. If you have to imply a double miracle to make your case, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. The Bible is simple, basically. It's easily enough understood. These men were speaking known languages. And it's not just that they were speaking known languages. The word translated languages in this passage is the word that we get our word dialect from. Now, just this morning, I was watching a movie on television. Yes, Virginia, I do watch movies. And the name of the movie was Home from the Hill. It's made from a book written by a man who grew up in East Texas. And, of course, I'm from East Texas. My whole family on both sides are all from East Texas. And I'm always amused slightly to see these Hollywood movie stars attempting to talk with what they think is an East Texas accent. So we have George Hamilton, and we have George Peppard, and we have Robert Mitchum and Eleanor Powell, and I don't know who all, playing these parts of these East Texas people and speaking with what they think is an East Texas accent. And it's laughable. They don't sound anything like East Texas. If there's anything I know, it's the East Texas accent, and you might say the East Texas dialect. They have a very distinctive way of speaking down there, and it's quite easy to pick up on, and it's real easy to pick up on someone who doesn't know what he or she's saying. I want you to look back at this passage in the second chapter of Acts and look at what we've got here. These guys are from all over the known world, or all over the Mediterranean world there, and they have come to Jerusalem because of the Feast of Pentecost, and they are there to worship, and they get the surprise of their lives. These men are out in the streets of Jerusalem, and they are talking not just in the languages, but in the very dialects. Now, I want you to imagine I'm walking down the street in, Petrograd, St. Petersburg, Russia, one day. I've never been there, really, but we're just imagining here. And suddenly I pass a tavern, and from inside the tavern I hear very clearly a man speaking English with the East Texas accent, and he is East Texas all over. And I go into that place amazed, and I say, "Man, where in the world are you from, anyway? Where are you from, Longview? You're from Kilgore? Where are you? Where are you from? You're from Terrell or Tyler or, Palestine?" And he says to me, "Never been there in my life. Born right here in St. Petersburg, never moved out of it." And I say to him, "Well, where did you learn this? You're talking to me, and I could swear, you're talking East Texas." And he says, "I have no idea. I just started talking it. No idea at all what I'm." Would I be amazed? That's exactly what was going on here. That's exactly what was going on here. This was not gibberish. This was individuals, and these individuals were speaking a language they had never learned in their lives before, and even speaking it in the dialect. And these men said, What is going on here? These men are Galileans. What's going on? We don't understand this. And they're talking and they're praising gods. And they were amazed and in doubt. What could this possibly mean? Now, I've heard people, and these tales, you know, that we always hear, they're kind of apocryphal, or they're strictly stories that you hear. Well, I heard that someone said that such and such. Well, let me tell you one. True story. This is the truth. Tongues have been analyzed over and over again in laboratories and universities. They have been analyzed by skilled linguists over and over again. They are not languages. They don't even have the characteristic of languages. And this is why individuals who do this have to go to strange explanations such as, well, it's an angel language. Well, it's the Holy Spirit speaking in me in Romans 8. Well, it's, and you get all of these explanations. It is not a known language, and it is not even language. Well, you'll hear someone say, well, you know, I know a missionary who told me that down where he was in the interior of Africa, and you get these explanations again about what's going on here in some, you know, remote place, but you never actually see any of this. I've never seen it. I've seen people speak gibberish, but I have never seen anyone do what we see going on in the second chapter of Acts. Never. Now, I tell you what, and I know of a case where an individual got up in a meeting and in a very obscure language gave the 23rd Psalm. This was in a charismatic meeting now, and someone else got up and interpreted it and missed the interpretation by a mile, did not even get close. Now, if the Holy Spirit was in any of this, I would be very surprised, and I don't believe that he was. Confusion is not the way God does things. Let all things be done decently and in order, said Paul in 1 Corinthians 14. When he was speaking, among other things, in there about speaking in tongues. Now, I want you to notice something at the very end in verse 13. Others mocked these men and said, they're full of new wine, they're drunk. You might say, well, there you are. There you are. They couldn't understand these languages. No, what they couldn't understand, they could understand the languages that were being spoken that they understood. You know, the Cappadocian could understand the Cappadocian. But if we had an individual here who spoke Hebrew or Aramaic and spoke his mother tongue, Greek or whatever, and he heard these other languages, he wouldn't have understood them, would he? And he might have mocked and said, they're drunk. They're full of new wine. They're just drunk and babbling. That's how it might have sounded to him. But look at what Peter says. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Now let's stop it right there. Let's kind of look at this and ask, what is going on here? We're getting ready to look at Peter's sermon and what he has to say. Now, I can assure you that these Galileans who were believers, who had been in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, and who, when filled with the Holy Spirit, rushed out into the streets of Jerusalem, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, in dialects, known languages, I can assure you that this was a new experience for them. They didn't know anything about this. They weren't planning on this. The Lord Jesus didn't tell them that they would speak with other tongues. He said, you'll be filled with the Spirit, back in the first chapter of Acts. And they, too, they didn't know what the Lord was going to do. We looked at the first chapter of Acts earlier. I hope you were all here to listen to that and to be a part of that with us. These men did not understand the church. The church was not something they were thinking in terms of. The word church, to review a little bit, was only used twice in the Gospels, and that in the Gospel of Matthew, in the 16th chapter of Matthew and in the 18th chapter of Matthew. That's the only time the word church is mentioned. You will not find Peter in his writings talking about the church as such, nor John in his writings talking about the church as such. You will in the apostles find that everything we know about the church, as far as the way it meets, the way it should be set up, what we should do when we come together in meetings, everything we know about the church as the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, as a living organism united with Christ, the living head in the heavenlies, everything we know about the church, we know from Paul, if we know it doctrinally at all. We have to get all our doctrines from Paul, because the church is Paul's doctrine. He's the one to whom this was given. And these men, these disciples, knew nothing at this point about the church, I can assure you. They had been taught by the Lord Jesus about the kingdom of God. Now, for those of you out there who think that the kingdom of God and the church are the same thing, for those of you out there who insist on thinking that, the kingdom has come and it is here as the church and God is through with Israel because they rejected Messiah, and every time in the Old Testament you read Israel and Jews, you just plug in the church because it all is the church now. For those of you who are thinking in these terms, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You are in utter and absolute confusion. And you are taking God and all of his unconditional promises to Israel and trying to make them conditional and trying to say now that God will not fulfill those promises because of Israel's failure. Friends, when God makes an unconditional promise, it's unconditional. He's going to do it. And God has something he is doing with Israel, and he is going to bring it to fruition, and it will involve the messianic kingdom on this earth, and that is exactly what these disciples knew at the time. We saw a couple of broadcasts back that back in the first chapter of Acts, the Lord Jesus was talking to these disciples during his 40 years on this earth after his resurrection. He was talking to them about the kingdom. At the end, right before he ascended back to heaven, they asked him, "Will you restore the kingdom to Israel at this time?" Nothing about the church. We saw that he didn't correct them. He didn't say, "Well, you ignorant, dull people, I talk to you and talk to you. You just don't get it, do you? This gospel is going out and the Gentiles are coming in." He didn't say anything like that. All he said to them was, "It is not for you to know the things which God and the times and seasons which the Lord hath put in his own power." He's got the authority, but he didn't correct them. As a matter of fact, for years after this, they went on, these Jews, living in Jerusalem, centered in, praying in the temple, going through the temple worship, and the only thing that differentiated them from any other Jew out there was the fact that they believed Jesus was Messiah. Otherwise, they were Jews, living by the law, keeping the law, going through, the sacrifices. They were doing all of this. And we'll see it later on when we get to it. When Peter was told to go down to Cornelius' household, 10th chapter of Acts, and preach the gospel, he didn't want to go. And when Paul took the gospel out and preached it and Gentiles started getting saved, these men back in Jerusalem didn't know what he was doing. I mean, this utterly bewildered and baffled them. Now, we're in the second chapter of Acts. We have got Peter who is, by his own admission, he says it himself, he says it more than once, and Paul says it. If you don't believe it, read the book of Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapters 1 and 2. Peter was an apostle to the circumcision. He was an apostle to the Jews. And all Peter knows at this time is the kingdom, the messianic kingdom, the kingdom coming on this earth. And here he is, and he is about to preach a sermon, which we will not have time to look at this time, but Lord willing, we'll take it up next time. He is about to preach a sermon to a group of Jews who are amazed as they stand here watching these men speaking in tongues. And he is about to preach a sermon to them about the kingdom, the messianic kingdom. And that's what it's going to be about. And for those of you out here who are Gentiles, if you say, well, what's this got to do with us? Well, it has a great deal to do with us, but only in a secondary sense. It is important we understand this. Because Peter says, and let's pick it up here, and I'll read this, and we'll have to take it up next time, but I'll just begin to read here. Peter, he said to them, these men are not drunk. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he's going to quote from Joel, from chapter 2 of Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now there is the quote. There is the quote, and Peter is applying that portion of Joel that he has quoted from the second chapter of Joel to this situation and to this place and to this time and to these men. Now, was he right? Absolutely, he was right. Was he correct in what he had said? This is apostolic and this is spirit-led and you can put it in the bank and it is true. Can we therefore take this and apply it to us at this time? Absolutely not. This is a prophecy about the messianic kingdom. And the messianic kingdom, were this once again at the risk of repeating myself, is all these men knew at the time. And that's all they were thinking in terms of. And they were correct as far as it went. Because Peter is going to offer them again that which they have rejected, namely the Messiah and the kingdom. He's going to offer that to them. This is a legitimate offer of God, and therefore Peter is absolutely correct in preaching from the book of Joel and quoting this passage, which we are going to have to take up next time because we are out of time. I hope that all of you are taking this in and profiting from it. This is Doug Miller. This is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.